Okay, if you have a Bible with you, we'll be looking at one verse in Numbers 23 tonight. And if you were here last Sunday morning, we began looking at the account of Balaam and Balak. You'll remember that they were two pagan men who, in their day, they were very influential. Balaam was the king of Moab. Balak was the king of Moab. Balaam was a prominent soothsayer who could answer questions. And he could bless crops. He could curse your enemies. So we had Balak and Balaam. So tonight we're going to look at a verse that describes how these two men tried to get access to God. Balak and Balaam. How did they try to get access to God? So Numbers 23, verse 14. It says there, so he, speaking of Balak, he brought him, Balaam. Balak brought Balaam to the field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah, and built seven altars, and offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Well, this coming Sunday, we're going to look at more of this account of Balaam and Balak. We'll be looking at Numbers 23 and 24. And in those chapters, three times, Balak and Balaam attempt to access God. They want to have two things. They are looking for communication, and they are looking for control of God. Communication. They want to hear from God. Control. They want God to curse their enemies. And so, these men, you'll remember, they lived in the ancient world. Thousands of years ago, the people today are just the same. Today, we are seeking communication from God. How do we do that? Well, we say things like this. Tell me, God, how will this situation with my child turn out? Or tell me, God, should I make this change or should I stay put? We also seek control over God. We come to God and we say, I need healing. I need money. I need money to come in. I need stress to go down in my life. Well, what do Balak and Balaam do to access God? How do they try to access communication and control of God? Well, they devise an approach to God. And they're not cavemen. They use logic. They are very educated. They have developed philosophies. They imagine, here's what must be the reasonable way to access God. In this passage, it tells us that they go to the places where it seems likely to reach God. They pick higher elevation, these mountains. They're called the high places. What's the reasoning there? Well, it seems logical because higher up must be closer to God, right? And when they're up there, what else do? They make altars. They make seven altars. And on those altars, on each one, they sacrifice a bull and they sacrifice a ram. Those two animals in those days were the most valuable of animals. Now, what would that be like today? Today, that might be something like taking your SUV, taking your pickup truck, taking your Mercedes, or taking your 2002 Toyota Sienna, whatever you have, and to set it on fire to show God you are sincere. You're going to give this up and let it be completely consumed to show God how serious you are about getting access to Him. And they offered not one, they offered seven of each. Not three, seven. And it seemed to them like, That quantity, that many, that should satisfy God, right? Now, we might laugh at these attempts to reach God, but don't we think that way about God? Just like those ancients, we come up with our own ways to make a deal with God. Today, we live in a culture that is just as self-willed in what we decide should be good enough to get God to move for us. What people around us say and what we think is good enough for God. Listen to some of these statements. Do any of these kinds of statements sound familiar? I don't have to accept your narrow view about Jesus Christ. There are many ways, many reasonable ways that we can get access to God besides Jesus Christ. Or, I don't have to worship at church. I can worship God just as well in nature, in the mountains, by the ocean, in my own room. Or, I haven't left Jesus Christ. I've left the church, but I haven't left Christ. Or, I don't have to change the way that I treat people. I can keep treating people the way I treat them because God has forgiven me all of my sins. And so I can just treat people however. It's all forgiven. Or finally, I myself don't need to have my own character fundamentally transformed. I don't need that because I have correct doctrine. I have correct doctrinal beliefs. With all of those statements, each one of those statements, do you see how each of those reflect the same kind of self-willed approach to God? In some ways, Balak and Balaam, they actually deserve more commendation for their self-willed approaches to God. Their religious imaginations, at least their ideas, incurred greater personal costs, greater sacrifice than many of our own modern self-willed approaches to God. Well, how can you access God? How can you speak to God and hear from God? How can you get your requests heard and answered by God? Well, the answer is it is only through the gospel. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Jesus is the way. He is the road, the path that gets to God. Jesus is the door, the only point of access. You cannot find the right high place, some transcendent spot in nature for your offering to God. Jesus is the only door, the only door. And you can't find any other right sacrifice to bring to God. You could donate, if you had it, you could donate 7 luxury cars and 7 luxury SUVs to charity. And that still wouldn't give you God's favor. No amount of charitable activity will bend his will towards you. What does it take to bend God's will towards you? You have to be blameless before God. Only a faultless person has any standing before God. Only a perfect person could motivate God to speak and to perform. You hear about this in places like Psalm 18. He says, I was also blameless before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore, the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. Now you hear those words and you think, okay, that's the way. That must be the way. But if you're fully honest with yourself, if you're fully honest with yourself, you know that you've never been blameless. You know that you have fallen short. And if you don't believe it, all it takes is a question to the person who has grown up with you or who lives with you. Am I blameless? Have I fallen short? And you know what they're going to say. All of us, this is true. You have failed to fully fulfill the code of ethics. Even your feelings are impure. What do we have inside of us? We have hatred. We have envy. We've got lust. We have pride. All of those things percolate inside of us. So that means all of your virtuous acts, all of your donations, all of your public service, no matter how many there are, they can never remove your vices. But in the gospel, one man, Jesus Christ, fulfilled all righteousness. Everything required, he did it. And if you believe on him, you attain that righteousness. It's given to you. You didn't do it. It's called not the righteousness of the law, but the righteousness that comes by faith. And so for those who come to God saying, I didn't do it, I can't do it, I never did it, and I never will do it, but Jesus took my punishment, and I didn't do it, but Jesus is also my righteous obedience. If you come to him that way, and that is what you are believing on, and that is all you have to offer up, God sees you as the blameless one, the righteous one, the one whose hands are clean in his sight. And when that's true, then places like Proverbs 15 can speak for you. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. What is it that's going to motivate God to hear you? What can you bring to bend God's will with all of your requests and all of your needs? Nothing. You've got to humble yourself. You've got to admit that you've got nothing to offer him. You've got to believe on Jesus. And maybe you've already done that. You've got to believe on Jesus again, today, tonight, and each day. And you have to follow Jesus then. Once you know that you're righteous because of Jesus. And so then you follow him. You follow his word. You're going to do what his word says. You're going to do it his way. That's not what got you in, but because Jesus got you in. That's just what you want to do. It makes sense now. Let's pray. Lord, we come again to you through Christ. And we're humbled again to have to admit that we could never offer enough. And we never were able to offer enough. But we come recognizing that you are gracious. You made the way and you have offered it as a gift. And so we receive the gift. And because you've given us this gift, we want to offer you everything and to follow you. Make us to be changed. Make us discontent with the old person in us. Make us more into the image of Jesus, who did all things well. In Jesus' name, amen.